Matthew chapter number 26. I'm not in Isaiah this morning. I told you last Sunday I want to share something about the cross. This is a wonderful passage of scripture. I hope that you will adopt something that God put in my heart a good long time ago. I began a week or two before Easter, and you've got a week now. You go through the Gospels, and you read every day the accounts of the death of our Lord. And it will not take you very long to do that. Do it morning and night. From all of the Gospels, you read about the death of our Lord and His burial and His resurrection. Every time you read that, God will show you something new. Every time you read that, God will speak to your heart. And I trust that you will. You need to relive that. This week, Anthony let me borrow a CD or DVD where they did in a sister church the live Lord's Supper. And it was impressive. I mean, it blessed my heart. And it was a moving type of presentation. But then right down near the end, the last thing they did is they named the disciples, the apostles, and each one of them, I was reminded of how they died. Every one of them died a martyr's death, except for John, who died on the Isle of Patmos, having been tortured, boiled in oil. And my heart was broke of what a very unprofitable servant I am, and how that people who have believed in the cross of Calvary have paid for that belief with their own life and with their own blood. And we have a wonderful privilege to share the gospel with every person we meet. And I hope that then this year that this story, the account of the death of our Lord, will be fresh in your mind and in your heart and fresh on your lips as you tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. In this passage of Scripture, I'm thinking we're looking at our Lord as He is met with His disciples. He's instituted the Lord's Supper. I'll read that to you tonight. Now He is making His journey to the Mount of Olives to pray. And I shared last night with the same. By the way, if you missed the homecoming last night of Black Creek, you missed the time. 230 people here. And boy, it was just great. It was just a wonderful time. I thank the Lord for all the singers here in the church and for Black Creek and how God used that last night. It was a blessing. But I had been pondering this week about our Lord. Many of you have memories of occasions in your life that were very sad. You remember walking behind the casket of an infant to the cemetery. You remember praying by a loved one's bed as they left this world to go to be with the Lord. You've had many troubling, heart-rending experiences. But as I read about our Lord as He approached the garden, and what I'm going to read to you in a few moments, boy, my heart again broke that He who created light and created the birds, created the beautiful skies and the scenery that we see. The one who said, "These things have I written that your joy might be full. I've spoken these things that your joy might be full." And He wants us to be full of joy. And yet He said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." The God of light and the God of love and the God of joy was burdened. I want you to look at it with me, please. Verse 36 of Matthew 26, "Then cometh Jesus with them into the place called Gethsemane. And He said unto His disciples, Sit ye here, and I go and pray yonder. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said He unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with Me. And went a little further, and He fell on His face, and He prayed, saying, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." Will you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God will empower me to share with these friends gathered here and the vast radio audience and all those who join by means of the internet the greatest story, the greatest account of all of history. Our Father, from the days of creation and to the end of the book of Revelation, the pinnacle point of all of history is pictured here as we begin to approach Calvary. It's the very purpose of the incarnation of our Lord. For He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and His name shall be called Jesus. But He shall save His people from their sin. You testified, Lord, that for this hour came you into the world to redeem fallen man, to give your life a ransom. And now, Father, I never stand in this pulpit, any pulpit, that I don't feel completely inadequate. But Lord, never more than these occasions, when I think of what our Lord suffered, what He went through for wicked, sinful men. Our Father, we are broken and humbled as we think of how He suffered for us and how we, our Father, have been, Lord, so inconsistent for Him. How we have failed You so many times. And God, You loved us so much. Our Father, I pray, God, You'd help us to be ever reminded of Calvary. God, give to us what You gave to those early disciples. A courage and a boldness and the strength to carry the gospel message around the world. Help us now. And Lord, I pray if there's a lost man or woman, boy or girl in the sound of my voice in this building, in the internet audience or the radio audience, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost right now do that work that You came into the world to do, convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Draw by Your grace and save for Jesus' sake. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ was incarnate in human flesh. The Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness, that the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Him bodily. Jesus Christ was a perfect man and perfect God. As a man, He became hungry. As a man, he stumbled and fell on the way to the cross. As a man, He wept at the tomb of Lazarus. As a man, He was brokenhearted over the rejection of the nation of Israel, of Him as their Savior. As a man, He became weary. As a man, He became sorrowful. His soul became burdened even unto death. Understand, He's a perfect man. I was saying a while ago that many of you remember those sad occasions in your life. Many of you, too, could remember painful experiences of your life. I'm talking about physical pain. And no doubt we could spend all day talking about things that happened in your life and how that you can remember it just like it was yesterday. And I can, too. I was pointing to the scar in my head back at the fellowship hall the other day, and I remember on a bicycle with no brakes on it. I mean, we boys, we didn't care if we had brakes or not. You slide down, you know, just stop it. I was standing up pedaling. And Jimmy Wheeler was on the seat behind me. We were going down a red clay hill. I mean, it was hard as brickbat. And we was going down that red clay. I don't know to this day what happened, if he got his foot in the spokes or a vine got in it or what, but it threw that bicycle going down the hill, and he rode me the rest of the way down that hill. My knees, my arms, everything. I mean, the hide was peeled off of me. My head was busted open right there. Should have had stitches. Didn't, you know, those days you didn't do stitches. You just put a piece of something on it and kept on going. But, I was semi-conscious for a few minutes there and got up. But I'm going to tell you right now, I can close my eyes and I can see that red clay coming up in my face. I can feel that stinging. I remember when our youngest daughter, Becky, fell out of off our back patio one time. She broke her arm, and I looked at it, and it was sideways. I knew it was bad shape. Regina drove. We took off to the emergency room to the doctor. I sit back there and trying to hold it. And we got there, and I went back in with her, and the doctor said she has what's called a green twig break, and said that, you know, it's broken, but it's not completely in two. And he said, I got to break it, and I got to set it. And he said, can you do that? Can you stand it? I said, I'll sit here with her. I sit there with her. The nurse came in, and he told her what he's fixed to do. He said, can you handle it? She said, I can handle it. And they put her arm down, and they held her arm down firmly on the table with her little forearm sticking up. And he took that arm in both his big, massive hands and looked at the nurse and said, are you ready? And she said, I'm ready. And he, in one motion, broke her arm completely and set it just like that. And when that thing snapped, I could hear it. It popped in two. I thought he's going to give me something. But I can hear it now. Many of you have had painful experiences, and while we laugh about that, you can remember those experiences. But you only have the blessing of recall. But the Lord Jesus Christ is omniscient. It means He knows everything. And eternity passed before this world was ever formed. He knew what He'd suffer during this time of His crucifixion. He knew how they'd pull His beard out of His face. He knew how they'd pierce His side. He knew how they would do all those things to Him, how they'd put a crown of thorns on his brow. He knew that. And he knew it so intently that he experienced it. Just as you can think about it and remember it. I'm telling you, through all the life of Christ, while he was healing the leper, while he was raising the dead, while he was feeding the 5,000, in his own spirit, he knew what he was going to do. He experienced, he knew it. And as that has built through his earthly life, he comes now and he's approaching Calvary. And for him incarnate in human flesh, it's so heavy that he became sorrowful even unto death. There's not a more moving scene to me than our Savior in that garden by himself praying, great sweat drops of blood falling from his brow and saying this, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What's in that cup? What was in that cup that so moved our Savior? What was in that cup that when he stood before Pilate, he opened not his mouth? What was in that cup that brought our Savior, the Creator of the world, to a place of heaviness and brokenness? I suggest to you that there are three things in that cup. Number one, he knew the suffering that he would experience. And you say, Brother Billy, what kind of suffering? It's throughout this Bible. It's throughout the account of our Lord. Every wound that can be inflicted on a human body, our Lord suffered in those hours of his torture and his death. Every wound a human body can experience. When you read about it, I have tried in my mind to preach it under the anointing of God sometime, try to make it as graphic as I could, and I felt like I was a total failure. Let me just simply say to you, the prophet says this, his visage was so marred, he was unrecognizable. Many of you have seen or had individuals who were wounded and their face swole. His face was so beaten with fist, the beard pulled from his face, beat with a cat of nine tails. All of those physical sufferings that he was hardly recognizable as a human being. That physical suffering's in that cup. But more to it than that. The Bible said that, I believe with all my heart, that not only was the physical suffering of the cross in that cup, but there was sin in that cup. And I believe that's the primary thing. The Bible said that he who knew no sin was made sin for us. 1 Peter says that he bore all of our sins in his own body on the tree. He bore the grossness of our sin. You think about things, hideous, horrible sin, and they just repulse us. Certain things that just repulse me. You've heard of them. I could go through and list them. I don't have to. But when you think about that, it gives you a sick feeling in your stomach. The grossness of that sin. Did you know that every sin any human being has ever committed was placed on our Lord? Some of you, you can't hardly stand anything that's not 100% perfect and clean. There are certain people that they just... things bother them. Other people can, they get involved in anything, but they're and it doesn't bother them. But there's certain things that just, like the kids say, just grosses them out. And I want you to know, my dear friend, that the most hideous, horrible, wicked sin you've ever imagined was placed on a perfect, sinless sacrifice, our Lord. Grossness of it. All of that filth poured on him. All of that. Not just the grossness of it, but the guilt of it. There are people who put guns to their head and pull the trigger because they're ridden with guilt over things they've done. The shame and the guilt of it. My dear friend, the guilt of that sin fell on him too. All of it. He bore our sins. He carried our sorrows. He was afflicted. My dear friend, all of that guilt of sin was put on him. And every emotion that a guilty sinner feels, our Lord experienced. He would feel that awful, awful guilt of sin. He would feel the grossness of that sin and all the sins of all the ages. You just imagine what it was like. But there's a third thing in that cup, more than the suffering of the cross, more than the sin that was to be placed on him. And it was the separation. Book of Proverbs said, before there was ever a river that flowed to the sea, before the mountains were ever formed, he was daily the light of the Father. In eternity past, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit had sweet communion. Throughout all of creation, throughout all of the Old Testament, on the day of his baptism, he was baptized. The Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove, and the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But on Calvary's cross, something happened. And when he looked at that cup, he said, Father, if there's any way in the world to do this without this, I want to do it, but not my will, but thine be done. But the only way that he could redeem sinful men, the only way that he could redeem men who would have to suffer in hell for all eternity was to suffer their hell, was to suffer their guilt, was to suffer the reproach of that sin, the shame of that sin, the suffering of that sin, but the separation of that sin. In Psalms 22, the cry is uttered and it's repeated in real life on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? God turned his back on his own son. I cannot explain that to you intellectually. I can't explain to you theologically. I cannot do that, but I know one thing, that God turned his back on his own son because he couldn't look on sin, and he had to be separated from the Father, just like people will be separated from God in hell for all eternity. He had to do that. And it was that separation, the sin, the suffering, and the separation in that cup. But what a wonderful thing he said. Prayed that prayer three times. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he was willing to suffer. He was willing to bear all of your sin. He was willing to be separated from the Father, so that you could be reconciled to the Father, so that all your sins would be forgiven, so you'd never have to be in hell and cry for one drop of water. He suffered all of that for you. You say, well, I sure would like to know that. And preacher, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm making up my mind right now. I'm going to be better. I've got a few things in my life I've got to straighten out, and then I'm going to get saved. Got a few things in my life that I've got to straighten out. I got to quit doing some things before I could ever really get saved. No, my dear friend. The Bible says, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for the ungodly. He's paid that sin debt. And what an awful reproach you put on our Savior. He said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. There's no possibility of any other salvation other than what he experienced on that cross. And there's no salvation apart from the shedding of blood. And he's done that for you already. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's a free gift. It's already been purchased. He's already done that. Don't trample underfoot the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ by saying you're going to do better. That's a shame and reproach on him. All that he went through for you. And then you say, I'm going to go to church and I'll go to heaven because of that. Oh, how wicked that is. How wicked even think that. It's not possible. Well, he died on that cross. He drank of that cup. All of our suffering, all of our sin, and all of our separation from the Father, so that we could be reconciled, so that we could come to know him as Savior, so that we could have all our sins forgiven and be in heaven for all eternity. My question to you this morning is this. Have you experienced that? Do you know that beyond any shadow of a doubt? Have you ever, in simple faith, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever done that? I'm glad, my dear friend, that it's not by price. It's not. He said, ho, everyone that thirsts to come, drink of the water of life freely, freely, freely. My sins are gone. I feel like I'm the worst servant in the world whenever I read the Word of God about what he suffered, whenever I hear about those faithful men of God in the Bible and even since then, what a sorry servant I am. Last night, Tracy, somebody was testifying, Scott maybe, about how unworthy we are and how we can't do. But I want to tell you what makes the difference is we had a worthy Savior. Had a worthy Savior. He came and suffered and bled and died that you might have life. Easter's all about His resurrection. We'll emphasize that next Sunday. But He suffered and bled and died on that cross. But that death would not have been complete had He not resurrected. Because you see, the wages of sin is death, had to be paid. And as long as that debt was not settled, nobody ever walked out of the grave unless He called them out. But what He did, He paid it in full. And His resurrection is proof that He settled the debt. And He said, I'm alive forevermore. And my dear friend, it's a done deal. He's paid your sin debt. Will you receive it? Will you trust Him? Will you bow your heads in prayer this morning with every head bowed, every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, I'm glad that our Lord was willing to drink of that cup, to bear all the suffering and shame, to bear all the sins of all the ages, and to endure the separation that I would have had to experience in hell for all eternity. In this building this morning, there are many people, our Father, already who've done that. They've come to You. They've accepted that free gift. And Father, I want to thank You for the fact that You commissioned us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That He was buried and that He arose the third day according to the Scriptures. And He's alive. And because He lives, we can live also. And Father, I pray this morning that boys and girls and men and women who do not know 100% sure that they're saved would respond to the simple message of the cross this morning. And I pray they'd be saved.